are listening to Know You're Crazy. My name is Susan Dene. We all have crazy. What separates us is how we choose to deal with it. I'm going to be delivering engaging and actionable tools to own your crazy, treat your crazy, and turn it into your own superpower. I hope that you walk away from this show feeling the power and strength within you. And never forget to enjoy your journey because you are worth it. Hey everyone, welcome to the Know You're Crazy talk show. My name is Susan Dene and you are listening to Emotional Recovery in the Raw. I am super excited about today's guest. The reason why is because if you are someone like me, who I am in my late 40s and I have been on a journey of the body, specifically probably going back about 4 years. So for example, if your body isn't responding or feeling like it used to, almost as if somebody switched off the lights, and I'm particularly kind of leaning into the women here. Now, men, you might be able to relate, but I'm kind of talking to the ladies today. Maybe your body feels like a stranger. You seem to be reliving the college freshman 15 pounds, only it's kind of more like the menopause 20, 25. And the only thing that has changed is you have aged. Your lack of focus might feel as if you all of a sudden were diagnosed with ADD, ADHD. The fatigue makes you question your quality of sleep. Your sweat attacks are like being in 100-degree weather without the air conditioning. If you're thinking that's me, then today's show is for you. And I am passionate about this topic. You know, it's nothing like getting passionate once it personally applies to you. Isn't that usually how it works? My guest today is Dr. Darvish. And Dr. Darvish is a licensed naturopathic, functional, and regenerative physician and the founder and chief medical officer for Holistic Medical Center in Bellevue. She is a multiple award-winning physician specializing in regenerative medicine, bioidentical hormone, chronic disease, and adjunctive cancer therapies. Dr. Darvish has earned fellowships in integrative cancer therapies and nutritional and metabolic anti-aging medicine. She has been affiliate faculty with Bastyr University for over 20 years, training resident physicians. She is a writer, an educator, lecturer, and has been interviewed on multiple radio shows and podcasts. She too leads her own podcast called Holistic Health Hour. She can be reached at holistic.com or drdarvish.com, or you can also give a phone call to Dr. Darvish. So Dr. Darvish, welcome to the Know You're Crazy talk show. I am really excited to have you. I personally have been able to be on the receiving end of your services. It has been life transforming for me, especially in the last 2 to 3 years. But I'm thrilled to have you on the show. My work with women began nearly 20 years ago in the recovery from addiction and alcoholism. And back then, when I was helping those ladies, everybody was older than me. And if I knew then what I know now, I would have been steps ahead. But my journey started when I was helping women about 3 years ago. And some of the women I've been helping for a while, been working with me for a while. And I started noticing they were having some emotional ups and downs that just were not in alignment with all the work they had done for themselves. They had done the mental work. They had done the emotional work. They had overcome life hurdles. Yet they were, dare I say, symptomatic of some emotional mood swings. And one day I was sitting and I had worked with a woman. And afterwards, I thought to myself, menopause, hormones. What can I learn about menopause and hormones? Which I would have thought I would have had that light bulb go off way before then, being a very hormonal teenager, PMS, menstrual cramps, all of the above, but it did not go off. The light bulb did not go off about the later years in a woman's life and how those swings in menopause and what happens with the decrease in hormones and what that can do to us until I was witnessing it in these ladies. That led me to books, which I can talk about a little bit later. But eventually those books recommended a few key things. And when I was on the Google search that day, looking for a naturopath, I come across your clinic. And it specifically offered the services that these books were mentioning. And not all clinics did. Not all naturopaths did. And so that's what brought me to you. And now you've just been a lifesaver for me. And so I'm going to shut up now. Like I'm going to take up, you know, that now, and then I'm going to shut up because I want your input and your professional feedback on menopause, bioidentical hormones, all of the above. So you just jump in. I'm done.
Well, Susan, thank you so much for having me on your podcast. This is truly an honor. And I too, I'm very passionate about it. I am almost 54 years old. So I have gone through the perimenopause, still going through the menopause deal. And I totally relate to every single woman in this Gen X generation that has been and continues to go through this process of transformation and transition. It is really a blessing to be going through this process. I know it can be really difficult at times, you know, with the mood swings, like you mentioned, and the hot flashes, itchy skin, saggy skin, brain fog. Some get hives and abdominal pain. I mean, insomnia, the list just goes on as you might be aware. And not everybody experiences it the same way. And it's not just about these symptoms. It's really also about reducing our risks long-term, like reducing our risks for bone issues and heart issues and brain issues, memory loss, and just keeping ourselves functioning and healthy for as long as we possibly can. And I think that's one of the main goals as to why I do what I do in supporting women through this process. It is, I think, a game changer for all of us, this menopause, perimenopause process. It is probably the most difficult period of a woman's life is to go through perimenopause and menopause. Some women come to me and they say menopause was the best thing that ever happened to them. Best thing. And there are others that once they're in it, they have a really hard time. And then once they're over, it's like, oh, I feel like a new woman. And really that is our opportunity to close the chapter of those early, the first 50 years of our life, and opening up a new chapter that has so much more to offer to us in so many ways, whether it's relationships, whether it is making a new career change, whether it is following a spiritual path, whether it is following a new career path. It is our opportunity to create and recreate ourselves again. And this is why it's so exciting to go through menopause, as difficult as it is. You know, when we go through babies, birthing of babies, those last few hours, those last few centimeters of dilation, the cervical dilation before that baby is born, the transition, it's called, is very painful, very difficult. And yet, once we go through that process, this new joy, this new life is born into our hands, right? And so I see menopause the same way. It is a transition that we're going through, and it can be so, so difficult for some of us. But once we get through it, there is new life. There's new ways of being, new ways of seeing things, new perspectives, new ways of creating things. And that's what I'm passionate about. And that's why I accepted to join you here to discuss this journey so that hopefully we can assist many, many women out there.
I appreciate that. And I appreciate that perspective on it. And I'm glad, I'm grateful that you bring that perspective in. It reminds me of when you were talking about the transition into another phase of life. And when you were mentioning, you know, not only do, you know, we can talk about the symptoms, we can talk about the hot flashes and the brain fog, and I know we'll be diving into that during the show. But the key thing that you reminded me of when you were sharing was the health risks that take place in our body because of the decrease in hormones. I when the light bulb went off for me, when I began reading, in fact, I pulled the book off my shelf because it's been a few years, but it was The Sex, Lies, and Menopause written by T.S. Wiley. And I think it was referred by a David Astry book. So here I am following the breadcrumb trail, right? And her book, whether people like it or not, but in the beginning of that book, she goes on a complete in-depth description of breast cancer. And then she's relating that to it never dawned on me. It just never registered when you think about women dying of heart disease or the breast cancer or the different phases and when the majority of the lifespan, like it's usually in the later years. And, you know, I come from a generation with my mom, and a lot of us do, where it was almost dismissed as, oh, it's just the change. It's just the change, you know? But we never really, at least in my family, we didn't really talk about it, about really what was going on. And I don't know if my mom really knew. I really don't know if my mom really knew what was going on in the body. So one of the things that I'm really grateful that you mentioned, Dr. Darvish, was the decrease or the likelihood of our health risks that are involved when the hormones go in lower levels. And I was shocked when I was reading up on this. I started putting two and two together between the cancers in later life, the heart disease in women in later life. It all started making sense to me. So if you wouldn't mind sharing on that and how important it is, not only, you know, so we don't get hot flashes, but the long-term risks and what we're doing when we treat the hormones.
Well, absolutely. You know, one of the major risk factors that you just mentioned with estrogen dropping during perimenopause and then menopause is heart disease. In fact, a woman's risk for heart attacks and strokes goes way, way up above a male risk factors postmenopausally. And it's because the estrogen drops. And when that estrogen drops, it's not only affecting our cholesterol, our blood pressure, plaque buildup, inflammation in our whole system, not just in the cardiovascular system, but inflammation goes way up. But it also affects our brain health. And so then we get memory issues and brain fog. And in fact, studies have shown how decreased estrogen levels increase our risk for dementia and Alzheimer's later on. And then there's the bones, right? Osteoporosis is very common for some women, family history-wise, but also if we're not digesting properly and have malabsorption issues, if we don't have enough vitamin D levels, if we don't have enough hormone support, then we are reducing our bone health and increasing our risk for osteoporosis. So it's not just about hot flashes and insomnia and, you know, saggy skin. It really is about making ourselves as healthy as possible and reducing our long-term risk factors. You know, I'm with a mindset that I want to just keep on going and going and going and going. And when it's time for us to go, pop, I'm gone. I have seen too many people go through such debilitating chronic diseases as they get older and suffering so much that I don't want to go there personally. And hopefully I won't, you know, who knows what the plan is from above, but I hope that by eating properly, by exercising according to what my body needs, utilizing bioidentical hormone therapy and by meditating and by changing my lifestyle factors and making sure I'm getting enough nutrients and gut support and all of that, that I am hopefully reducing my risks personally for long-term disease. And I hope that I can help my patients and women out there to do the same, to reduce their risks for these chronic debilitating conditions that are really, majority of them are preventative. Of cancers, you know, breast cancer, for instance, lung cancer, colon cancer, majority of Alzheimer's and heart disease risks, these are all preventable diseases. They're not something that just because your mother ended up with it or your father had it, that you're going to end up with that disease. we have so much information now. We have so much research in medicine now that guides us in what we need to do in order to reduce our risks and not live the life that our parents possibly did.
Yeah,
and there's
love
so
that.
Much more to learn. So much more to learn.
Yeah, love that. No, I just the idea that just because mom or dad had it doesn't mean that I'm going to have it, and reversing that way of thinking. You know, I really, that's why I just eat this stuff up, because it is so true that these are preventative diseases. And yet so I think for so long, we've been of this mindset of treating the symptom, but not getting to the root cause of it. And like you, you know, my goal when I turned 40, so I'm 48 now. And so when I turned 40, my goal was like, I want to live forever. Like I'm going for 120. And so back then, the only thing I knew, like what was making sense to me was, one, the diet was important and what I was putting in my body. And so I really started educating myself more and more on that, but then get back to the gym and exercise, because I thought, well, if I'm going to be old, I don't want to be weak, you know? And so I'm going to make sure that, you know, to try to get the muscle mass going. And so then as I've over time, over these last 8 years, when the hormone decline hit, and so I'd like you to talk a little bit about what a woman might be experiencing, because I didn't know that some of my struggles were perimenopause. Like, I did not know that. And so now I'm, you know, a little bit 4 or 5 years into this, and with your help and your services, I've been able to be like, looking back now with an aha moment, like, oh my God, that's what that was all about. Like that lack of focus at work that I was shaming myself for, that I was beating myself up for, you know, that I was sometimes blaming them and other times blaming me, but that inability to focus like I could in my 20s or 30s, now I know, like probably 70% of that was my body was changing and I had no clue. And yet I was shaming myself for at least 4 years for not producing like I used to, not understanding. Right. Not understanding. And so so if you could share a little bit about maybe perimenopause, what women might start experiencing so that they don't have to go through that same thing that I did.
Well, perimenopause can start after the age of 35. Wow. Any time. And I see that the most common symptom is actually fatigue. Mm. You know, we may not have the stamina that we might have had earlier. We may tire easier. Like you mentioned, this brain fog, this confusion. There is a confusion in our system at, you know, starting around 35, 40 years old, and it just progressively worsens because of the hormone changes that are happening. So fatigue being the number one, then memory issues and brain fog. And brain fog is almost like you can catch that word. You know what the word is, but you can't quite enunciated, bring it up to the front of your brain to say it, right? It's something like that. Or it is like, I can't quite think straight. Like there is clouds basically in my brainwave here. I want to say mm-hmm. and think clearly, but I can't. There is a cloud there, right? So brain fog, fatigue, sleep disturbances, and these things may be cyclical. They might come and go around your cycle. It might be mid-cycle. It might be before your period. And then we get to the irregularity of the period. Sometimes they're pretty regular, and other times they may be, you know, 40, 50, 60 days apart. And then there's like back-to-back every 10 days, or there is spotting before or spotting mm-hmm. after, or spotting before and after, or heavy or light. I mean, it just wacko, right? Confusion again. So I think the term to use is confusion. Our body gets confused in its circadian rhythm. It can't mm-hmm. quite figure out what the clock is. I don't know when to go to bed. I don't know when to wake up. I feel like I'm sleepy halfway through the workday. I can't sleep at night. You know, the circadian rhythm just gets thrown off. My cycle gets thrown off. My brain neuron signaling going off, heart palpitations, tachycardia, which is when you feel your heartbeat come and go. You can get that. One of the most common symptoms that gets missed during menopause, and women go through tests after tests, is digestive issues. The bloating that comes and goes, heartburn that comes and goes.
Yep.
You know, even abdominal cramps that seem to have nothing to do with your menstrual cramps, but you get these gas pains and you wonder, what did you eat? What did I do that I'm getting so much stomach bloating and gas pains, and sometimes even doubled over? Back pain, joint pain is another one, right? Yeah. You wake up in the morning stiff and joints, and joints are achy, whether it's in your feet or in your fingers. So these are all symptoms of our hormones going up and down. One of the main hormones that starts declining is testosterone, followed by progesterone and then estrogen. So estrogen's not the first hormone that goes down. Progesterone and testosterone often are. And in fact, progesterone is the hormone that protects our bones. It also protects our heart. It is cancer preventative, so it protects us against cancers like breast cancer and hormone-related cancers, colon cancer and lung cancer and so forth. And it declines every time we get pregnant. Okay, so it's the pregnancy hormone. It's the hormone that makes us fertile, but it does decline with every pregnancy. And so women who have had multiple pregnancy tend to have lower progesterone when they're going through menopause, which can make it more difficult for them.
I did not know that. Yeah.
And then testosterone. Testosterone is that hormone that makes us feel grounded. It helps our brain function and that sense of well-being. It's, again, important for bone and muscle mass. Libido. So a lot of women come in here and say, you know, I think my testosterone is down because I have low libido. Well, you can have low testosterone and still have normal libido. It can affect you many other ways. You may have trouble building muscle, for instance, or feeling like you can make a decision. So indecisiveness is a sign of low testosterone. There is so much involved with these hormones and our mental and emotional symptoms that I think we don't realize, because one day we get up and we're feeling great, and the next day we get up and we are feeling horrible, whether it's being fatigued or brain fog or hot flashes or mood swings or whatever it is. And it can go up and down. It's a roller coaster ride, right?
I know. And I have women that I've worked with before and after hormone replacement. It's like night and day. Like all of a sudden what they thought was a problem isn't even on the radar no more.
Yeah.
It's like they're given a whole new lease, and it's like, oh, because I'll be working with them and I'll think, oh, there she is.
Yeah, there she is.
Yeah. All confident and decisive and all of that. But before the treatment, not so much. And yet had done a lot of, you know, life, which you would think a traditional work on their emotions, you know, blah, blah, blah. Right. So it is such a game changer. So now I'd like to transition into hormone therapy. The difference between bioidentical, synthetic, if I'm even using the right terms, please correct me if I'm not. I am all good with that. But what is the difference, and what should women really be looking for when they're looking to replace the hormones? Like, what are some good tips for them? You know, just fill us in.
Well, you use the right term, synthetic versus bioidentical. Okay. The WHI, the World Health Organization that put out the study in 2002, came up. It was the largest study that was ever done on women and hormone therapy. And since then, there is this myth, there's this misconception that hormone therapy causes cancer, it causes heart disease and stroke. Well, if you look at that study more closely, the hormones that they use were progestin. And progestin is a synthetic progesterone. Okay, it's not a bioidentical progesterone. It's synthetically made. And synthetic progesterone increases risks for heart disease and cancer and stroke and all the things that progesterone is supposed to help. Progestin increases it. And in the literature, it's confused. So oftentimes they use those two terms interchangeably. They go from progestin to progesterone, but it is mostly referring to the synthetic form of progesterone, progestin, that can be causing a lot of health issues and risks long-term. And so we tend to look at bioidentical hormones. These are hormones that are identical to our own hormones. If you think about a teenager, if you think about a pregnant woman, typically at those ages, these people have high amounts of raging hormones, high amounts of testosterone, estrogen, progesterone raging through teenage years, right? And yet they often have the lowest risk for heart disease, cancer, stroke, and so forth, right? Mm-hmm. And so diabetes. And so we see that bioidentical hormones, which are made from usually wild yam, so they're plant-based, okay, do not have those risks that synthetic hormones do. In fact, they support the body in its natural function, in its natural biochemistry, in its natural immune function, protective mechanisms against all of those conditions that we just talked about.
And on the synthetic hormones, and I could be totally misremembering what I read, but isn't it something like they came, they came from animals, some of the hormones, or I almost want to say horses or something.
Well, that's Premarin, yes. So Premarin is conjugated estrogen from horse's urine, yes. Okay. So that one tends to be a little more natural than progestin does, which is completely synthetic.
And so when you say completely synthetic, what does that mean?
It means that it's chemically made in the pharmacy.
Okay.
Okay. Most of it is similar to our own hormone, but there may be one or two parts of that chemical structure that is not a match.
Gotcha.
And so when you're trying to put the key in to the lock, it's not quite a match. Most of it, 80%, 90% of it may match, but the other 15% of it may not be quite a match to that lock. And hence, you can't quite open the door all the way. You can't turn the key all the way. And so that 10-15% that doesn't match the rest of our body can actually bind to other receptors in our cells and turn on genetics or turn on enzymes or systems in our body that will turn on inflammation, that turn on or turn off the immune function. And so we don't get the immune support, that turn on inflammation so that we don't get the anti-inflammatory benefits of some of these hormones.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. So what popped in my head when you were sharing was birth control pills. I don't know why that popped in my head, but birth control pills would be an example of synthetic, correct?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. They're synthetic. And there's still synthetic hormone therapy available out there. It's not as prescribed as often as it used to, because ever since that WHO study came out in 2002, doctors and patients have kind of been like, "Woo, I'm not going to give out these hormones because I will increase your risk for heart disease or cancer or what have you, and I don't want to put you through that process." In the meantime, women are suffering. In fact, there was a New York Times article that came out this past week that talked about how women in the menopause, postmenopause range are the most underserved population. They are very tolerant. We're very tolerant of suffering. And so we just deal with it, right?
Yeah.
We just deal with it.
Isn't that horrible? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Totally. I know that totally rings a bell with me. So So I find it interesting. So in my hormone journey, I came to you in February of 20 is when my journey started. And it was after reading these books. And I didn't quite know, like I was still having my menstrual. So I wasn't, you know, I wasn't sure where I was at. And that's when I started my journey with you. And I think one of the very first things that I started taking was progesterone and then testosterone. Those were the two. Those were the first two, like you shared, and started feeling some of the benefits of that. And then my at the end of 20, when I had lost my father to COVID, and then when we came into the body had depleted again, it's like it was going through its phases, right? And of course, like, a good patient, I wasn't coming in as often as I should because I'd push it and then I'd get busy and then I'd come back and then we would test again and the levels would come up or go down actually, and then retreating. But where I'm getting at on this is about 3 months ago in my journey of finding the correct balances, I hit a spot emotionally that was pretty dark for like a couple weeks. And I was supposed to be in your office about 30 days before that, or even 60 days. And I hadn't, but I'd hit this point. And I thought, wow, this is pretty serious. And so I contacted your office and I contacted a Western medicine doctor. They had, without seeing anybody, a Prozac prescription for me sent to the pharmacy within like 2 hours. Now, I know my journey and I know a little bit about the gut, and my red flags went off, and then your office was getting me in like 3 days, right? So I was like, well, I'm not going to touch that. But what amazed me was I knew that this was a direct result of menopause. Like I knew that there was something hormonally going on, but it was such a eye opener of the different treatments. And in my journey, I had also at one point, because, you know, I was testing out what's everybody saying. And it was always a complete opposite experience. One doctor, I asked him about hormones, which he wouldn't even talk to me about it. He didn't even know. Like, and he was a family doctor. And I was thinking, wow. And so it's amazing to me that I think we do end up suffering for longer than we need to. And I think that there's like the anxiety gets thrown some meds, but the hormone levels keep getting down. And then the gut's all messed up because the antidepressants are hitting the gut, you know, and there's a whole thing going on there. So, and then I got into your office and I got to tell you that the estrogen got up and boom, within 2 to 3 weeks, I have never felt better than in the last 5 years. Once everything got regulated again. Yeah.
I'm so glad to hear that. Night and day. You know, we do not have Prozac deficiency. Yeah. I don't care what anybody tells you. We do not have a Prozac deficiency. We have an estrogen deficiency when we are feeling those deep-seated darkness. It's an estrogen deficiency. Yeah. An estrogen deficiency actually innervates the gut and the nervous system so intensely that when our estrogen levels drop, then the nerve signals to the gut are not signaling regularly. They're not regulated. And so then we get all sorts of gut issues going on that impact even the microbiome, the gut bacteria. Actually, there is a whole study of bacteria in our gut that regulate estrogens. They're called estrobiloms, okay? Mm. And so these estrogen bacteria get dysregulated, and that can impact our serotonin levels and our dopamine levels and our norepinephrine levels, all these different hormones, melatonin levels that are involved with our mood and sleep regulation. Our happy hormones, our antidepressant hormones, those all get impacted by the bacteria in our gut that's now dysregulated, by the nervous system that is now dysregulated. You know, one of the things that during the past few years, as I have gone through this process and I've recognized that I don't believe was talked much about, is that the nervous system, the autonomic nervous system, that's the automatic nervous system in our body. That's the nervous system that regulates our body temperature, that regulates our heart rhythm, that regulates our digestive juices, that regulates peristalsis, the movement of our gut. and so much more, that automatic nervous system, the autonomic nervous system, is the one that goes into fight and flight mode, or the other branch, which is the relax and digest, the healing mode. That nervous system goes into chaotic mode. It's so deeply impacted by hormone balance. And when our hormones start dropping, that nervous system is what goes into chaos. And that is why we feel all the symptoms that we feel, whether it's dizziness, you know, some get dizziness or this near syncope where they feel like they're going to faint, or they get the heart palpitations or the anxiety, so forth. Those are all symptoms of the automatic nervous system going haywire into confusion mode because it's not getting regular signals from our hormones. So every symptom of menopause that you can think of is based on the dysregulation of our autonomic nervous system resulting from the decrease in some of these hormones.
I am so glad to hear you say that. So what's going on as you're sharing that, one of the things in my experience, working with women in recovery from addiction and alcoholism from like day one, sometimes, or day whatever, but working with them, and some women really suffer with trying to get sober. It's a cycle. And what I started realizing over these last few years of my own journey is there's a class of women who are in the menopause, perimenopause age range that have a heck of a time getting sober and staying sober. And all of a sudden, I was like, I swear, one of my goals is going to be able to create a world or to create a service so that women who are trying to get sober have their hormones checked. Because I'm wondering, just because of what you just said, the nervous system is out of whack. And if they are constantly in fight or flight, and they are constantly in panic, and they are constantly living in fear, and they're thinking that a drink's going to solve that problem because that's all they know as an addict or an alcoholic. But in the meantime, those hormones are out of whack. And so there's like this whole physiological impact going on. And so there's a belief sometimes in the rooms of recovery that this is just a matter of, you know, they just don't have enough willingness yet, or they haven't hit a rock bottom enough. And I thought, you know, what if that same woman went in and had her hormones tested and got treated for that, in addition to what we do in recovery, would she have a better likelihood of getting and staying sober? And I am so passionate about that because I think some of these women are suffering, and that's just in an addiction world, right? But in that age range, because of what you just said, they are consistently in a fight or flight and looking for some way to stop that pain from happening. And I will stop from going on a tangent on that so much, but it's so real to me right now. So let's just say for the woman watching this right now, and they say, okay, all right, I hear you. All right, hormones are probably declining. I've got a lot of those symptoms. What do I do to find out what my hormone levels are? I would like you to share on this because I've got my own feedback, my own experience, which I love, but I want you to share on what women can do to test their levels.
Well, just before I get into that, I wanted to make a comment about the, you know, people who have been recovering or are recovering alcoholics and addicts.
Yeah.
Is that during that intense intake of some of those drugs, basically, we're burning through our adrenal hormones. And the adrenal hormones are your chi. It's your vital force. It's where we get our energy from, the cortisol, the DHEA, the pregnenolone. All of these major stress hormones are coming from your adrenal hormones. And when we're burning ourselves dry during pre-perimenopause, you know, our young years with alcohol or drugs, or it can be being a workaholic and long hours, lack of sleep and so forth, stressful schedules, we're burning through all of those stress hormones. We are depleting our reservoir for the transition into menopause. What I mean by that is that estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone initially are produced by our ovaries. But during menopause, they're switched over to being produced to some extent, albeit in, you know, smaller amounts, by our adrenal hormones, by our adrenal glands. And so if we have burned through that reservoir of the adrenal, the stress hormones, we do not have the reservoir to push through the transition from the ovaries making the hormones to the adrenals making the hormones. And that can make it really tough for some of us going through this period of time. Mm. And so it does become really important to look at those adrenal hormones. It's not just about the estrogens, not about the testosterone, not about just the progesterone. It has to do with the adrenal glands, your thyroid glands. Do you know that thyroid medication, levothyroxine, is, I believe, the second most prescribed medication ever? Number one being an antihypertensive drugs, statin drugs, cholesterol, Lipitor drugs. But number two is thyroid medication. And thyroid and adrenals and our female hormones are, you know, intertwined. If one's stressed, the other one will try to take over. If the other one's stressed, it will try to take, the other one will try to take over. And so you get this triad. And then dump into that your pancreatic hormones, your insulin and blood sugar regulation. That it plays a huge role in menopause as well and perimenopause. And if you're eating a lot of sugary foods, if you're drinking a lot of alcohol and wine, you're burning through the insulin regulation system and stressing your female hormones, your male hormones, your thyroid, your adrenals. And then we've got the pituitary and the hypothalamus, which are in the brain, and they're signaling all of these other glands. And so then we have those all getting stressed. So it is quite a comprehensive evaluation that we need to do in order to help a woman go through this process of menopause. By the way, all of this that I'm talking about also relates to men. Men also go through hot flashes. They also can go through sleep issues. They also can go through low libido and sexual dysfunction. They also can go through brain fog and memory issues and fatigue and lower stamina and indecisiveness. So every single symptom we have talked about in relationship to women also applies to men. And they start going through their process of declining hormones from age 35. It continues to get worse. And they can have some of these very difficult periods of their lives as well. They tend not to talk about it as much as women do, but they suffer as much. And they get confused in their body. And it's like, what am I doing? I'm not the same person as I was before. So both men and women need to have their hormones evaluated at all those levels, the pituitary, the thyroid, the adrenal, the pancreas, the ovaries, the testicles. All of those hormones have to be evaluated and then understood, you know, what do we need to do to intervene to support the hormone function. It's not about treating menopause. It's not about treating andropause, the male version of menopause. It's about supporting us. Menopause is not a disease, right?
Yeah.
It's not a disease where we need a treatment. We just need to learn a different way of being and supporting that process, that journey, and helping ourselves become stronger afterwards or during the process and afterwards as well. So it's about, you know, meditation and exercise and eating what's appropriate for your body type. It's about balancing those hormones. And perhaps we need to give some bioidentical hormone therapy. Sometimes we just need to give some herbal medicine. Sometimes we need to give some homeopathic hormone therapies in order to support the production of that, of those different hormones. It really is individualized. And that is the key. I cannot treat you and the next person, the next woman that comes into my office and the next one with the same dosage of estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, and adrenal hormones and thyroid and so forth. Every one of you, every one of us has to have a very individualized, personalized treatment plan. And the reason for that is because we have experienced life differently from the moment that we were conceived. We have different genetics. We have different what's called epigenetics, which is what the environment has brought us, whether it's the psychological, emotional, physical, chemical, electromagnetic environment, what has the environment brought us to us? Social environment, our relationships, our nutrient uptake, what bugs, parasites, and viruses have we been exposed to? What, you know, how did we go through COVID? I mean, that's one of the biggest things that I have seen actually in today's woman during COVID and post-COVID is the fact that hormones dramatically change as a result of COVID. And whether it's COVID vaccine or the COVID itself, there is what we call an estrogen dominance. The estrogen levels often get more dominant over the other hormones, and that can be very inflammatory. We get histamine response. Estrogen increases the histamine response in our body. So histamine is like the hives. It's like the brain fog. It can be even abdominal issues and palpitations. It's where these immune system cells, we call the mast cells, release over 100 different chemicals, one of them being histamine that causes all this inflammatory response. Post-COVID, we also get further burnout. Adrenal hormones have dipped below the reservoir in many of us, right?
I would love to have you on just for that show about post-COVID. Like everything you just listed off as far as what you've seen and what you've treated. That's just fascinating to me because, you know, so many people, it's kind of like, I always like to say some things go, they kind of get, you know, not necessarily purposely under the rug, but we so easily forget. We so easily forget what we just came through. And yet the body has not forgotten as easily. And we have been impacted significantly based on the pandemic and everything that came with it. And so what you're sharing right now, I just love that because, you know, you'll hear subtly, you might hear, oh, post-COVID or something. But I don't think enough expression has been made around that to say these are some of the symptoms you may be suffering from and this is why. And so that feedback you just gave on that post-COVID was extraordinary. The other thing that I wanted to comment on was your overall treatment of the hormonal picture is what I'd like to say, because I will honestly, when I got my test results back, I like there's some stuff I geek out about and I found myself really geeking out about that Dutch test. So the feedback and the numbers and what I became aware of in my own body, when I would be talking with women who were on a similar journey to me, they weren't quite aware of the same feedback. Like they didn't have like all that information, and I might as well have been an info commercial. Because I'm like, did you do this? Because this thing's telling me this, this, and this. And so that's where we get into testing the hormone levels, because usually what we'll hear is the blood test, which I know is good, which is part of the deal. But then there's other ways that you can test your hormone levels to really get a full picture of what's going on within the body, or I guess. I mean, I'm going to let you start talking now. This is when I start, you know, going out of my realm.
Well, you're absolutely right. We need a very comprehensive evaluation of the hormones. So it's not just looking at what absolute numbers of hormones your body is producing. And by the way, that is so variable throughout the day. So when you just get one blood test, it is just checking the hormones at one instance in time. It's not giving us what's happening throughout the day or throughout the month, right? And there is urine tests now available. The one that I love is called the Dutch test. Dried urine test for comprehensive hormone evaluation, Dutch. And this Dutch test looks at not only what's happening in the last 12, 15 hours of your hormone production, but it's also looking at how we are metabolizing these hormones. And that is not talked about enough. The metabolites of estrogen are vital to what happens in terms of inflammation, what happens in terms of us being more risky at producing heart disease, you know, at risk for heart disease or cancer growth. And so it's those metabolites that we need to evaluate and then manipulate in our body, because a lot of times it's supplementation and diet and lifestyle changes that we can incorporate in order to shift the way our body is metabolizing at the cellular level these estrogens, the progesterone, the adrenal hormone, the thyroid and adrenal signaling. So we can shift all of that based on what we are producing. And some of it is genetic. Sometimes, you know, we have more susceptibility of turning on a gene that will produce more cancer-causing metabolites of estrogen. And we can actually shift that so that it's metabolizing through a better pathway. But it does take work. It does take time. And we want to do that. So I never feel safe in just prescribing a woman and even a man testosterone or estrogen unless I have kind of gotten a bigger picture of what's going on at the cellular level, right? Mm-hmm. And even the test that we do is still not comprehensive. There is so much going on with hormones that we don't even know about yet, right? Science even doesn't know what we don't know. And so what we do know, though, is that we have the capacity to shift the way we metabolize these hormones. And then when I come to give you bioidentical hormones, I'm giving it to you in a safe manner. And instead of unknowingly giving you something that potentially could go down the wrong pathway and produce more inflammation and cancer growth, I now I'm aware that, okay, you tend to go down that way. We need to change your switch and switch you down this way and make sure that you continue to go down that pathway instead of the more what I call the more toxic pathway of estrogen metabolism. So it is a very, very comprehensive approach. It is a very safe approach, and it is very needed to make sure that women go through this process and come out of the other end rejuvenated, recreated, you know, more powerful. I am all about women needing to be here in order to transform the lives of everyone around us. When we look at the research, we see that when one girl is educated, that the whole community of 100, 200, 300, 1,000 people can be transformed by one girl being educated, right? Yeah. And so it's all about education. It's all about awareness of who we are, what capacity we are, what our role is in society, and how can we fulfill that role in our society? Because in order to create a peaceful, unified world, we need the woman to be on par with their capacity.
Yeah.
And that is why we need to support the woman in their process of menopause and perimenopause. Mm,
on par with their capacity. I love that. I love that. To be able to bring the full game. And we don't have to stop bringing the full game just because we start to experience body changes the older we get. That there are solutions for that. There's treatments for that. I feel like I barely scratched the surface with you on this topic today. I can't even believe the hour has already flown by. I've got all kinds of questions that I really wanted to get out there. I'm debating. I'm gonna throw one out there real quick because I know I'm supposed to be wrapping up, but I got to ask you this. So if I'm a woman and I'm looking into hormone replacement, I'm gonna just go for me. I'm gonna personally go for bioidentical. I want the more natural match with my body. You provide those services. The other thing that I would like to know is, do I do this? Do I take an oral pill or do I do transdermal? That was one I really wanted to get out there today, because the difference between the body metabolizing, am I correct on this? One is because I do a lot of mine on creams on my skin versus taking a pill. If you could very quickly give the feedback on that, because I know I'm supposed to wrap, but just in case a woman's watching this today, I want that piece out there for them.
Okay, we do need to spend a whole hour talking just about this. But estrogen orally has to go through the liver and it can become a toxic metabolite and cause inflammation again. Okay, so I never prescribe estrogen orally. It's always either transdermal or vaginal or as a pellet subcutaneous under the skin. Then there is testosterone. Again, testosterone is something that you never want to take orally because, again, it can produce toxic metabolites as it goes through the liver. So it's either transdermal or as a pellet, okay? And then progesterone can be given orally, depending on what's going on. So a lot of times I do it transdermally on the skin or vaginally, but orally I may use it for women who are having a lot of anxiety and insomnia and that nervous system is just ramped up and they can't calm themselves down. And so, and the transdermal is not enough to support them that way. So then I do give it, I do prescribe it orally for them. And that one is safe to prescribe orally. But the other two, never oral, always some kind of a topical or subdermal or subcutaneous.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Thank you for that very quick summary. I'm glad you were able to provide that. So having said that, if you are watching the show today, so glad you joined us. Lots of great information. I'm going to ask you to be back on the show at some point when we can fit it into your schedule, because it's just fantastic information for all the ladies and men out there who are looking for a change in their body. So you can reach Dr. Darvish at holistique.com. You can also reach her at drdarvish.com. I highly recommend her services. I've been in receiving of those services and it has been a night and day experience. I will tell you, I got my game back on. Thank you awesome. For that.
I'm so glad to hear that. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here. It's been a pleasure and an honor. And I hope this information gets out to the woman out there. None of us need to be suffering with going through this process. In fact, we need to be empowered to transform lives within ourselves and the lives around us, just like you are doing. So thank you for all the service that you provide.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Darvish. All right. Take care, guys. Bye. You have been listening to Know You're Crazy.
Crazy.
And my name is Susan Dene. We are identifying, understanding, and treating your crazy one episode at a time. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com. To connect with me or Growth Spurt Your Life, please visit SusanDene.com. That's Susan Dene, DENEE.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.